This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, I understand we have a topic that we've never covered before, but you are a maven on the subject.
Yes, that's maybe a little bit of an exaggeration. It may surprise our listeners to know I have some experience with this topic we are talking about today, and that is the topic of beauty pageants.
Wow.
You might wonder what my entree into that world is. Well, we have family friends whose daughter started competing in pageants at the age of 13. And she is currently 18 years old. She is at Cornell University, and she is the reigning Miss Massachusetts Outstanding Teen. And Greg, guess who was her first coach for the interview portion of the competitions back when she started?
Your wife?
No, me. I had the honor of coaching her many years ago, and our family has supported her through her various pageants as she's come up through the ranks. And it's been really exciting to be a part of that world and see what goes on. And so with all of that, I am excited to introduce our guest today. Our guest is not Rachel Perry, our family friend. Our guest is, in fact, a new friend, and her name is Samantha Neeland. Samantha is currently Miss Hawaii USA. She is about to compete for the Miss USA 2020 competition next month. She is a Toastmaster, and she is on with us now. Samantha Neeland, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
We're happy to have you here. Miss Hawaii 2020 USA, congratulations on your win. What I'd love you to do is describe that moment when they announced your name.
Yes, wow. When I won Miss Hawaii USA, the funny thing is about the pageant, they actually announced the winner for each category before they announced the winner of the entire pageant. And I was just so over the moon because I had won the interview category, which to me was a huge deal. I had never won that in any pageant before. And I just felt like it was all of my Toastmasters experience kind of hitting the roof. Like, this is the cap. I did it. So at that point, I mean, I was happy to win the crown, but I didn't even care because I just was so proud to win the interview.
Fantastic. So this was not your first foray into the world of pageantry, I understand, Samantha. I know that you took Miss Teen Hawaii back in the year 2013. So you've been at it for a while. What have you learned over the 7 years of competing in pageants?
So much. So much. I think pageantry is really incredible because it gives you the opportunity to learn about yourself, learn what you care about and what you want to give to the community. And then it pushes you to go do all of those wonderful things. I think pageantry really has taught me who I am. It has helped me discover more about myself and really encouraged me to get out there and get involved in the community. So pageantry is actually how I found Toastmasters. I joined the organization because I wanted to learn how to be a better speaker. And through that, I found my love for public speaking and my love for sharing that knowledge with other people. So I actually started a program called Time to Talk Hawaii, where I would kind of take the skills I learned in Toastmasters and then bring that and teach it to teens.
Wow.
Samantha, at what point in your journey did Toastmasters come into play?
I've been a member of Toastmasters for about 2.5 years now. So after I won Miss Hawaii Teen USA, I kind of took a 5-year break from pageantry. And when I jumped back in and started doing some smaller local pageants, that's when somebody pointed out to me that Toastmasters was a great way to work on your public speaking. And I went, found a club, and I've been super involved ever since.
Very cool. So Samantha, you are actually featured in a member moment in the November issue of the Toastmaster magazine, and that's how you came to our attention. And in that article, it speaks about your Toastmasters journey, and I thought it was really interesting. There was a point that pointed out the most important lessons that you took from Toastmasters. So one of them was managing nerves, and I thought, okay, that's, we've definitely heard that before. Everyone kind of knows Toastmasters for helping people get over the fear of public speaking and deal with nerves. But another point that really caught my attention, it said that you learned to control the room. And I thought that was a really unique way of looking at some of the skills that you can learn from Toastmasters, and wondered if you could say a little bit more about that. What does that look like in practice, and where and how did Toastmasters help you develop that skill?
That's such a good question. I actually recently gave a speech on how to serve your audience by releasing the focus off of yourself. So instead of focusing on what you're doing and what you need to do, solely focusing on the audience and what they need from you, what they want to learn, what they need to learn, and how they should feel after you're done speaking to them. So to me, it's so interesting because Toastmasters helps you, yes, with public speaking, but just overall communication. And it teaches you how to walk into a room and capture attention and just hold that attention and keep people on the edge of their seats when you are pausing or, you know, using interesting body language and vocal variety, all these different tactics to just grab people's attention and hold on to it. And I think that's something that whether you're giving a speech or doing an interview or honestly just walking into a party, having that skill is, I mean, it's just next level. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling to have.
Yeah, I can see, especially when you're coming into a situation as the reigning Miss Hawaii USA, that there's sort of an expectation or attention on you that allows you to kind of naturally walk into that role and be that little bit bigger version of yourself, maybe. But what I'm hearing from you, I think, is that almost by having that experience in the world of pageantry, and as you learned it from Toastmasters, like it allows you to then parlay it into different aspects of life and almost touch back to that experience and bring it into other experiences where you're not leading with the fact that you're a pageant winner. Is that accurate?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great way of putting it. It's all connected. I mean, I think pageantry is actually all around us. We just don't even realize. I remember earlier this year when I was watching the Democratic debates and there's like 20 candidates on stage. I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, this is a pageant because they're all standing up there using their best posture and hand motions and their perfectly tailored outfits and perfectly combed hair. And that's what a pageant is. I mean, and it just translates to what we do in Toastmasters too, being able to stand up in front of an audience and embrace who you are, flaws and all, strengths and all. It's just you.
That is such a scary image in my mind.
I know, but isn't it so true? Now that I've said it, you can totally see it.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Greg, but I'm picturing the candidates in bathing suits.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one, especially in places where it's just a little bit cold. Oh, gosh. I'm actually thinking, of course, amongst the three of us, I'm probably the one who's the least versed in pageantry. But as you were describing these different elements, and as Ryan was going through the three individual ones, it started to make me think about how each one of these would look like during a pageant and how people who are watching could actually learn from it. Can you share with us a few times where all these skills that you feel you've acquired and you've mastered and you're still working on, what did they look like during the pageant?
Yes. The dreaded final question in every pageant. When you stand up on stage, they ask you a question that can be about absolutely anything. It's table topics.
Right.
You're just standing up there hoping you get a good one, hoping you get something that you have information on and an opinion on, but you have absolutely no idea what it's going to be. And it's timed too. But the difference is usually it's timed and it's 30 seconds. So that's actually kind of the double-edged sword with Toastmasters. I get used to having a minute to 2 minutes, and then in a pageant, I only have 30 seconds.
Oh, do you have any kind of timing lights?
No, you don't. You just, if once you've hit 30 seconds, there's a little bell.
Ah,
30 seconds isn't very long. So of course, embracing the pause could be dangerous.
Yes. Well, I think with that, the time only starts once you start talking. So I think you have to take that moment right before you speak, embrace the pause there, have that kind of confident smile, and speak when you're ready. You can put them on your time. So once you start, yes, you only have 30 seconds, but you start when you're ready.
So in essence, you're controlling the room. I am curious if you're allowed to share, what was the question and how did you answer it?
At Miss Hawaii, I think my question was, I don't remember how they articulated it, but it was something about fake news and how we are to distinguish between fake news, something like that. How do we deal with it? Essentially, I gave a well thought out answer, but essentially I said, stop getting your news from Facebook. Yeah, man, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I kind of explained it a little and then gave people information on, you know, check your sources, make sure you're getting your news from a credible place.
How is your answer graded? Are you graded based on the content? I'm also wondering, let's say it's sort of a hot topic where there might be a dominant, prevailing, more popular opinion, and you came in with the contrarian view. Might they say, that doesn't really reflect great on our brand, so we're going to score you lower?
That's a fair question, and one people definitely kind of would debate, because I mean, it's a panel of judges and it's human nature to be a little biased according to what someone says and how that relates to your own opinions and beliefs. But ultimately, answering the final question is about having an opinion, being able to back it up, and delivering it with confidence. So the organization will often tell you, we don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on, as long as you have an opinion and you're able to back it up.
Yeah. I remember early on in Table Topics being taught by another Toastmaster a possible technique in answering a table topic where you say, whatever the issue is, you say, well, let's use your example of fake news. Mm-hmm. Well, on the one hand, we should consider blah, 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 blah. And on the other hand, you could look at the advantages of blah, 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 blah. And it allows you sort of the time to like figure out where you're going to ultimately land by laying out both sides. And I know there's a lot to do in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But then finally come in with, in conclusion, my personal opinion is option A or option B or whatever it is, and wrap it up that way. But is that something you could do in a pageant? Again, I think 30 seconds might be tough.
Yeah, I think there is a way to do it quickly. So for me, I like to get familiar on the opposite opinion and understand it. So obviously, you're not going to have two contrasting opinions about one belief. You are going to pick a side. That's just human nature. But what you can do is at least try to understand how the other side feels and why they feel the way that they feel. So you can kind of address that in your answer of, you know, I understand people want this, but ultimately, I think this is the most effective thing for us to do, something like that.
That's brilliant. That's what I'm also hearing, is affirm what it is, the value that they're seeing on their side that you also support, mm-hmm. but that you're seeing a different path to it than they are. That's really great.
Before Miss Hawaii, I did a couple local pageants, and I kid you not, I got asked about gun control every single time. Every single time. I mean, people have very strong opinions about gun control one way or the other. And of course, I have an opinion, but every time I would just say, I understand this, but I think this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
Because you have to show people respect. You don't have to agree with other people, but it's nice to respect their right to an opinion.
Absolutely. I had an old boss once upon a time who consistently told me that I had a right to my opinion, even though I was wrong.
Yeah.
Samantha, there's another aspect of the whole pageant competition that we haven't talked about at all that I think is a really important part of the competition. And that is the platform. And as I understand it, the various competitors would each identify a platform up front, which is the cause or the mission that they want to promote should they win the competition. So I'm curious if you could share with us your platform. And now that you have won and are wearing the crown, how are you engaging the community in support of your platform?
My platform is inspired by Toastmasters, and it is effective communication. I think we're living in such a divisive climate politically and racially in America that effective communication really can help bridge these gaps that we're seeing. And especially for our younger generations who are growing up and watching the news for the first time, kind of looking at politics for the first time, they're seeing all of this as the standard and as the norm. And that just is not the way it always has to be. So I think by teaching effective communication and really showing that there are other ways to go about a conversation, even when it is a little heated or even when we do disagree, we better position everyone to be more inclusive and to be respectful and understand that you can still have a conversation with someone when their opinion is different than yours.
It's great. It's just great. I love what you're saying, especially when you're talking about the education part. It's, for me, that's actually quite fascinating because I've come across so many circumstances and so many situations that if the two parties would have actually sat down and taken the time to listen and communicate with each other, then the problems just wouldn't be there.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah. You moved around the world as a child, and it says here that you lived amid different cultures. But that taught you how vital effective communication is, how it builds strong relationships, and it helped you better understand the world. I'm just curious as to whether or not there might have been any particular location or culture or setting that had the most profound impact on you.
I would say it was Japan. So when I was 8 years old, my family moved to Madrid, Spain for 3 years, and then we moved to Japan for 4 years. And I would say Japan just because I was a little bit older when I was there. I think it was such a pivotal time in my development as a person. I definitely learned a lot living in Spain, but I mean, I got there when I was 8 years old. So you just don't quite understand what's going on in the world as much at that time. But I think living in Japan, the culture is so different from our culture here in America. And it's fascinating, but they're so respectful. Such a respectful culture, sometimes almost to a deficit or a deficiency where they are so respectful that they might not speak up about something to a superior. So it's very interesting. I read an article once about American pilots actually going over to Japan to teach their pilots how to communicate with each other because they have so much respect that a pilot might not speak up to his superior about something that's going wrong. And then that would cause, in turn, a bigger problem. So I think I've kind of taken the best from both worlds, the directness of American culture and then the respectfulness of the Japanese culture, and found a really nice balance between the two.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Samantha, I'm very curious. In your member moment, it says here that president for the Ala Moana Toastmasters of Hawaii in Honolulu, but you're also the Area B4 Director for District 1 in California, and you're still a member of the Westwood Hollywood Toastmasters. How does that work when the two places are like 2,500 miles apart?
Well, the short version is I keep getting nominated for roles and then suddenly becoming an officer. But honestly, this new virtual environment has actually made it possible, and it's really worked for me because I maintained my membership with West Hollywood Toastmasters because I typically would be traveling back to California often for work. And so when I would be in Los Angeles, I would just go to West Hollywood Toastmasters, and I liked having that freedom. But now that everything's virtual, I'm able to be part of two districts and be equally involved in both of them because prior to this, it definitely would not have been possible. There's absolutely no way I could be an area director in one place and a club president somewhere else. It's just insane. It's kind of a big commute.
As we speak, you're actually in California, right?
Yes, at the moment, I'm actually in Los Angeles, California. I have about 2 weeks until the Miss USA competition starts. So this was kind of my pit stop on the way. And when I say pit stop, I mean just temporary quarantine spot.
Samantha, you mentioned your work a little bit ago, and I wanted to ask you about that. What is it that you do professionally for work?
I work as an actress and a model, and during this quarantine, I actually have been getting my life coach certification, so now I'm kind of taking on that new career as well.
I saw that in one of your newsletters, that you recently became a certified life coach. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What are your plans for establishing a life coaching practice?
I originally wanted to become a life coach because I thought it would help me further my education, especially for when I'm working with kids through my program, Time to Talk Hawaii. I thought I can teach them communication and I can also teach them life skills and just really give them everything that they need to go out and be successful. And throughout the course, I've just realized how much I absolutely love everything that I'm learning. So I've been working primarily with teenagers and young adults and just helping them become the best versions of themselves so they can go out and live their best life. It's awesome. Honestly, it's the best thing I've ever done.
Wow.
How does the Time to Talk work?
Yeah. So Time to Talk Hawaii is all about teaching teens how to communicate effectively and grow into confident young adults. So before all of this quarantine, COVID-19 kind of hit, I was going into teen centers and youth centers and holding in-person workshops. I would do a goal-setting workshop or a kind of interpersonal communication workshop. And we would just have different lessons each day. And I would work with the kids and we would make it very interactive to help teach that effective communication.
Yeah, very cool. Samantha, I know in addition to your official platform that you just shared with us, you've also been using this unique opportunity as Miss Hawaii USA to educate from a social justice standpoint. Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So this year I made history actually by becoming the first ever African-American Miss Hawaii USA. And with everything going on with the Black Lives Matter movement and just racial unrest in the country, I felt like I had a unique opportunity to really speak about it and help educate people on what's going on. Because my platform is effective communication, and I think this is all connected with that. So Juneteenth, otherwise known as June 19th, is the day that slavery officially ended in the United States, and two and a half years after the Emancipation Proclamation. And many people don't know this. I actually didn't learn it in school. I think I learned about 3 years ago. So right now, 47 states recognize the day as an official state holiday, but Hawaii is not one of them. So I launched a coalition and am working directly with my state legislature to write bills and propose bills that would eventually, hopefully, make June 19th an official day of remembrance in Hawaii. And to me, it's really just about the education. I think that establishing this day on the state calendar will serve to better educate everyone on the history of race relations in America and how they influence our society today.
Excellent.
Hawaii actually outlawed slavery 11 years before the Emancipation Proclamation, and many people in Hawaii don't even know that.
Wow.
Giving people this information and showing them that it is okay to talk about and we can talk about it in a positive way and learn from our history to better our future, it really better positions everyone. You know, we are a society that thinks it's bad to talk about race. So of course we're here in this uncomfortable time right now where everyone's confused and people are angry and they just don't know what to do.
That's why I think your platform is so important, Samantha. And it gets brought out in the article as you reference, there's a quote here from you. It says, "The biggest lesson is just listening. If you have two people throwing their opinion at each other, you're never going to get anywhere." And we see so much of that. And I think there's almost nothing more beautiful in the world to me. I'm exaggerating maybe a little bit. Seeing people with very strongly held opposing opinions sitting down and having a rational, compassionate, really honest and frank, and even passionate conversation to explore those areas. And I'm afraid that we're losing the ability as a society to have those conversations. And so I'm really glad that you're spreading the message that you are spreading, because I think it really is an important one.
Yeah, I think we can get it back. I think we can learn and move forward in a more positive and connected way. I think it is possible.
Awesome. Well, I'm grateful to you for being out there carrying that banner. And Samantha, I just want to wish you all of the best in the upcoming pageant in Memphis, Tennessee. Wish you all of the greatest success. Before we let you go, would you like to share with us where our listeners can connect with you, follow your progress, watch your videos? Would you share that with us?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad that I got to speak with both of you today. You can connect with me on my website. It's SamanthaNeelan.com. My email is up there. Videos are up there. Information on the pageant. And I do check it regularly. So if you email me through the website, I will get it.
Samantha Neelan, thank you very much for spending the time. Again, as Ryan said, we wish you all the best in the pageant and in the future. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Mahalo and aloha.
Aloha.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.